Joining us now, State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Eric Mackey, and so much to talk about. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I know it's a busy job as it is, but obviously with everything going on, way busier than normal. And I want to just kind of go through a list here of questions I have for you. But before we do that, your sense and state of schools in Alabama right now and weathering this for the students.
Well, so we're doing okay right now. I'll give you a little bit of just a rundown of last week. So we shut schools down last week, and you know the plan was to have a shutdown over a period of 3 days, close everybody on Wednesday. That's a big challenge. Obviously, with 724,000 students across the state, bringing all those buses to a halt, making transition plans for how we're going to feed kids during the closing. There was a lot to be done. A lot of our school systems, especially in the Birmingham area, actually had to shut down on Monday because we were already having, some positive tests up there. So all of that is done. We began on Tuesday the process of reopening schools, believe it or not, even though that's still a couple of weeks off, because we have to look at what are our options going to be going forward. So right now we've got every school closed in the state. We have all the athletic programs shut down, and people are kind of waiting on edge. The unfortunate thing is, of course, this was going to be spring break for most of the schools in the state. 95% of the children were supposed to be on spring break this week or last week, and they're not being able to enjoy their spring break. Unfortunately, most of them are not quarantined, but they're definitely not able to get out and do the things they otherwise would be able to do on spring break.
Dr. Mackey, you said a couple weeks here. Has there been a decision made about, I know we're talking about 3 weeks, but does that timeline move as more cases come online in Alabama with COVID-19, or are you still sticking with the original 3 weeks? Where do you see that?
Yeah, it could move, definitely. We have had conversations with public health. Last Thursday night, Dr. Harris and I were talking. Friday morning, we were talking about what our options might be, and we really just don't know yet. Our number one goal, obviously, would be that, hey, this thing runs its course, life is back to normal on April 6th. But I think anybody who's listening to your show, who's watching the news, who's paying attention to what's going on around the country, realizes that likelihood of us being back to normal on April 6th is not very good. So we're making contingency plans for how we might be able to really close out this school year in what we're calling alternate delivery. You know, that may be some digital, it may be some kind of correspondence course. There are lots of options we're looking at out there, but realistically, we don't expect to be back to normal on April 6th.
Dr. Mackey, you formed a state education task force last week. I'm wondering the priorities of that task force. How often are you meeting, and what all kind of is encompassed by that task force? What are you trying to figure out?
Yeah, good question. So we met only once, and that was all by video. We're obviously, like everybody else, trying to practice social distancing. So we met on Thursday for about 2 hours. We divided into five subcommittees to look at different things, and I don't have them right in front of me, but one was working with the business community, one was kind of digital online capacity, one was looking at what we might do for graduation requirements, those kind of things. We then sent out a survey on Thursday afternoon to all the superintendents in the state. Last night I had all of those back, and we were analyzing those. Of course, as you can imagine, they're not all... all the responses are not the same. So we've got different challenges in urban centers than we do from some of our rural communities. But we have that survey. Task force, first thing they did was help us develop the survey. We got that out. The task force will meet again tomorrow morning, again virtually, and we'll look at the survey results. We probably will continue to meet throughout this week, and certainly the subcommittees are meeting in the interim, but I can tell you that we're trying to get, or I intend to get, a recommendation to the governor this week as to what we might be able to do after April 6th.
Dr. Mackey, you saw the announcement there on Friday that Alabama students won't be taking the standardized test this year. How does that affect matriculation from grade to grade? And then I want to get into talking about the seniors as well. So, first of all, what does this mean when they don't take the standardized test?
Okay, so the standardized test has no bearing on each individual student. That's just how we build our state report card. It's school reporting. Of course, it does give students some information, lets parents see kind of how they're progressing in the curriculum, but it's not high stakes for students. So it will have nothing to do with matriculation or graduation. Students won't see much difference. Let me say that I really appreciate the great support that we've gotten from the U.S. Department of Ed, Secretary DeVos, Assistant Secretary Brogan, who is a former Floridian, was state superintendent in Florida and head of the university system there, and, of course, President Trump, because they have said in any way they can relieve regulatory burdens on us, they're all about it. In fact, we've never had so much relief from federal regulation as what we've seen in the last week, and that was a big part of it. So it allows us now not to focus on test prep, but to focus instead on health and safety of our students and instruction. So that's a good, really good thing that the federal government has done for us. Takes that off our plate. Doesn't affect matriculation. And then, you know, seniors are our top priority, I can assure you of that. We plan to graduate every senior either on time or very near to on time. We're not going to bring people back for another senior year next year or something like that. I've heard some of these people are worried about horror stories, but that is definitely not our plan.
How do you do that? How do you, I mean, graduate them without the number of hours and days that we've always heard about that are required? And I guess there's a chance to take those tests that they have to test to pass.
So there are no tests they have to pass. The only tests we give for high school students are a test called Work Keys, which is a career readiness assessment, and then the ACT. And those tests have already passed. So we've done those earlier this year. Those are tests we give earlier in the year, so that's done, fortunately. Students will have to complete their work. So right now, what we're looking at is, again, prioritizing seniors. What are the standards they have missed? We only require students to meet standards. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to have a certain number of hours in the seat anymore like it was 30 years ago when I was in high school. You have to be able to meet the standards. So what we're trying to do is identify what are the most important standards, have students met them, and if they haven't, then what do we have to do? Maybe doing some online instruction, doing some correspondence course. What do we need to do to make sure they finish up so they can we can award them a diploma and they can go on to whatever their next step is next fall? And I want to be careful. Now, there may be some students that will have to come back and maybe finish a course or two in either online or, by correspondence, or in the summer. We may have some students who have to come back in the summer. If I could give you an example, so especially career tech courses. If I'm a student and I'm a welder and I want to get a job welding, shipbuilding, working in construction, whatever, and I'm working on a welding certificate, well, we can't just give you that welding credential without the physical hands-on test. And so some of those students, right now we can't give those tests, obviously. Some of those students may have to come back in the summer and do their demonstrated competency test to get that final credential. So some of them may have to come back and do some things like that over the summer, but that'll be a part of our plan to make sure that they can get it done in time to start career or college or junior college, whatever they want to do in the fall.
Dr. Mackey, from the objective side, I want to read something from the subjective side, but this is got this text here into the station, but this is something I've heard from others. This texter says, I have a senior and there have been a lot of tears. We understand why there's no prom, no hearing her name called out at graduation, but after hustling for that honors diploma, things just bite right now.
Yeah, it's very tough. Now, we're hoping. You know, I'm always a hopeful, silver lining kind of person, and it's more and more difficult every day to find all the hope. But we really believe by, you know, sometime in the next several weeks, that we're going to return to a more normal life. And so hopefully a lot of these graduation ceremonies can be held. They may be held in June or sometime in the summer. I don't know. I mean, possible that, again, public health says, hey, it's safe to go back and have mass gatherings by, you know, May 20th, 21st, when a lot of the graduations are, then we'll hold graduation. But it may be that they're still saying at that point, hey, you can't put, you know, 500 or 1,000 people or one graduation I'm scheduled to speak at in May. I think there are 7,500 people they're expecting there. So that's a mass ceremony. And they may say, hey, we can't do that, but we'll have to do something alternate, something smaller. Or we just delay those ceremonies until later in the summer when it is safer. Of course, that's a decision we're going to work with each local school board to make it. And I can tell you, nothing has pained me more, aside from the true health concerns that many of our folks are facing as they're in ICUs. But beside that, nothing's pained me more than seeing so many of these seniors who've they've lost their final baseball season. They've lost their soccer and softball seasons. Their prom, as this person mentions. I mean, there's so many things that make high school a memorable and enjoyable experience, and I hate that those things have been put aside right now.
We're talking with Dr. Eric Mackey, the Alabama State School Superintendent. And Dr. Mackey, I'm really interested in the online learning, some of this virtual learning. Some of the teachers have been going above and beyond, great videos they've been putting out there for their students. I'm wondering, it almost seems seamless for so many of these schools to pivot to online learning only. Is there kind of did that come from the state down, or are we seeing a lot of these local districts do that on their own all the way down to the local schools? How did so much of that come about?
Yeah, most of that is ground up, not state down. So at the state level, we have a very good virtual high school program. That's called Access. It's been around for several years. And we've had students all across the state, rural areas, urban areas, suburban, using Access courses for almost two decades now. And, of course, it's much more robust than it was when it began. So they might take one course online or two courses online. We have a few across the state. By a few, I mean into the hundreds who take all their courses online. But it's just high school. So what we're seeing, though, in a lot of places is really the locals have been able to reach down and do so much with elementary schools and middle schools. Now, the problem for state superintendent is that is not true everywhere. So we still know that about 60% of our students don't have a really strong at-home internet connection. That's not saying they don't have some internet, but it's saying that they don't have it strong enough that they can do like back-to-back, face-to-face learning. And so it is a challenge in many parts of the state, but we've seen some amazing stuff, like you say, teachers posting videos, posting lessons online. It's a different level, though, if that teacher's teaching a course where she can personally interact with each child back and forth. Of course, takes a much stronger internet connection. It takes much more robust platform. Now, we have some locals that can do that now, and so when we come back to school, most likely we're going to be in a place where different communities are getting their education in different ways. Long term, we got to think about how do we make sure we manage broadband and access across the state.
Dr. Mackey, we talked about seniors, but let's talk about second graders or seventh graders or sophomores. What about when they start school next year? I know it's depends on when they go back to school, but do you see a situation where in August they finish the year before and then start on the new year, or what will that look like?
Yeah, we're still working on that. What we would like to do is to give everybody an opportunity to finish out this year. Now, that may not mean finishing by May 15th or by May 20th. It may mean extending a little bit into the summer. But we'd like to see everybody finish up. So if you're in second grade, we want that second grade to finish all the second grade standards this year. and then be promoted to third grade to start next year. And there may be some places and some opportunities where that just doesn't happen. So we may have a student that has a particular disability, and they really need some one-on-one instruction, and we're just not able to do that this year. So they may have to come back. We may have to do some things across the summer or even in the fall after school to help that person progress. But we're working through those issues right now. For the most part, most of our students should be able to kind of wind down and complete the standards necessary for this year. And then we hope when we start back in August to have everybody promoted and to be moving on to into the new year.
All right, Dr. Mackey, before we wrap up here, once again, your best assessment or kind of what you use to assess when you think schools will go back in. What is the measure that you're using with the state school system?
We are completely reliant on the Department of Public Health, and we're in touch with them every single day, but we're waiting for public health to say, can we reopen schools in a traditional manner where students are in the classroom, teachers are in the classroom? Can we do that April 6th? If not, do we think we might be able to do it April 15th or April 20th or 30th? But if we don't foresee that coming, then we will we'll be looking at alternate modes of delivery. How do we open school in a different way? Everywhere that's possible. And then the last thing that I do want to mention, though, we're going to give our local school districts a lot of autonomy in how they feel they can best meet the needs of their students. So what you can do in Mobile and what you can do up in Washington County or even further up in Choctaw County, they're very different because of the geography, because of the broadband access, because of how far apart people live. I mean, they're just different things, but we're going to make sure that we have a plan for every child in the state.
Dr. Eric Mackey, State Superintendent of Schools, thank you for your time, and I appreciate the information, and we'll be checking back with you soon.
Yes, glad to do it. Be glad to come back on sometime.
All right, thank you so much.